At Penn Station East Coast Subs, your ears may hear, and your craving deep down inside hears.
Penn Station's cheesesteak is grilled to order with 100% USDA choice steak and sautéed veggies. Piled high on that legendary bread, topped with aged provolone and served melty and hot straight from the oven.
So when you hear, your craving knows.
Time for Penn Station, and don't forget the fresh cut fries.
Penn Station.
Love your sub.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Recording initiated.
Yeah, we are recording. So if anybody's listening, welcome to episode 2 of the Live Fire Media Show with me, Kawaka 47, also known as High Point Dave, or Dave from High Point, and the always entertaining Hunter Elliott from RangeHot.com.
I would like to thank my father and mother, God, and David for making this possible. Who knew we would get picked up for 2 episodes? 2 episodes.
Like, you do realize this is not like an award or anything. We're just two dipshits talking on a camera and to each other. And
now from the FCC, though, they're like,
I'm sure you did. So what's new, man?
Well, you know, everything is wonderful, other than trying to reconfigure my Panasonic camera so I'd have a little bit nicer webcam. That was a bit of a bust, but work has been a little slow. But I spent the day cleaning the Range Tool AR in 22 Arc.
Yeah.
Got scope mounted, zeroed in, lua pulled. It is an 8x32x56 Mark IV. And it looks like the damn Hubble telescope.
I bet it does.
It does. I got that mounted and bore sighted. We're going to do some 103 and 500 yard shooting tomorrow.
Damn, nice.
And ordered a set of dies for the 22 Arc from Hornaday this afternoon.
Nice.
And, man, that really brings me up to speed.
Nice. That's cool.
How about you?
I had a wild, thought today was, we're doing it work-wise, still planning shit for SHOT Show, trying to get it all ready since we leave out Monday for that. And got the news that, we pay all this stupid amount of money to have the booth at SHOT Show.
It's a big booth though.
We're not big by much. I mean, there's much bigger booths, but it serves its purpose. It does as well. But the funny thing is though, we have one TV. It's like a 55-inch TV that hangs right in the middle, which you've seen that thing.
Oh yeah.
And go figure. I think it's Freeman who runs a lot of the shit on the show floor. They came back to us and they're like, "Oh well, our guys are building your booth for you. Can't put the TV or the TV mounts up for you. You'd have to call our AV outfit and schedule one of their installers to come out for $50 to $150 an hour to install that shit." So it's like, "Yep, yeah, no, we'll take care of that Monday when we get in." It's like that's stupid. So with that thought, I was like, "Okay, I've had a USB drive plugged in for a while that runs a loop of some videos." And the reality of it is, because it's right in the middle of the booth, nobody's watching that crap.
Right.
They're really not. So a lot of times we just pause it in the High Point logo and it just sits on that for the entire show. And today it hit me. I was like, I'm such a dumbass. Why don't I put the High Point logo spinning and have it spin change out to the Full Forge logo and spin change out to the Inland logo and back to High Point. But same time, that's animation. I don't know how to do that shit.
Oh.
So
I can do that for $50 to $100 an hour.
Well, I kind of figured it out today. It's all right.
No. What I would do is I'd get a piece of paper, right? And write High Point on it. And the other side, I'd write Inland. And I'd
God. Yeah. No, I'm good. I got it covered. I got to test it out. Actually, no, it's funny. I brought the flash drive home with it. I don't know where I put it. But yeah, so now I basically, in Premiere Pro, got it all set up, so all the little spinny things, and copied and pasted it. So each logo spins for 30 seconds, and it goes to the next one, And then I had it set to do that for like 30 minutes. And I think on that TV, then when you plug it in, I can tell it to hit loop on there, and this will just loop, hopefully, for the whole damn show.
Well, if it does, I'm going to make a really big deal about it.
I could care less if you do. Because worst case scenario, I can just pause the damn screen on one of the logos again, and that's it. Leave it at that.
Just half-ass it.
That's right. Sometimes it's all you got to do.
Yeah, I'm tracking.
But, yeah, that's all's relatively new. Other than, yeah, it made me think of still trying to do photos of that M4 clone for my review that I have written up for it. But I was driving today thinking about it. I'm like, when am I going to get out there? Because it was like 6 degrees today.
Good gracious.
Yeah, it's a little chilly. Then I started thinking about that. And I thought, oh, shit. I didn't put anything in there like, what's the trigger pull on it? Because I've got a trigger gauge from, I don't know if it was Wheeler or Lyman, something like that. I was like, oh, I didn't put anything like trigger pull, like what it really is. And that started making my mind spin off. I'm like, does anybody give a shit when you put that in your reviews or not?
Some do, some don't. I find that it's more important when it's like a carry gun or like a precision rifle.
Right.
If it's a rack grade AR, trigger pull is going to be 6 to 8 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. You know, if you don't, that's not an earthquake here in North Carolina, man. That'd be cool though, right?
It's happened. I've been there for one.
It has. That's a really good analog special effect, though. I'm charged for that. Anyway, you know, I think if it's simple enough to figure out, you know, then do. I got a Lyman mechanical gauge, you know, and I use it. I don't know how accurate it is. They say the digital gauges are more accurate, but, you know, I think if you get it, normally what I do, man, is I'll check it 3 times and then round to the nearest quarter pound.
Right.
So if it's like in between a quarter and a half, I'll go, it's almost, you know, 5.5 or just over 5.25. You know, I don't get down to 5 pounds, 2.6 ounces.
Yeah. If you're trying to tell me you can feel that, you're full of shit. No. I mean,
unless you're, you know, Jerry Mitchlick or Robbie Latham.
Right, right. If you're some world, like I know a buddy of mine, Andrew Hyder, world class shooter. And I feel like the one time he had me shoot his open gun, and yeah, it measured in the ounces. And I shot it. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, but
yeah,
that's a whole other level of shooter, though. I mean,
yeah. You know, man, I got to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to shot. I've got most of my evenings covered, except for Wednesday. Are you coming with us Wednesday?
Well, I know we're meeting up Wednesday. I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Okay, so we're going to the Guns Magazine party. It's on a rooftop.
Guns.com?
Yes. No, GunsMagazine.com. Yes.
Fuck. I know. I think I have Guns.com party.
Oh, you're going to love it. And if you don't, we'll jam.
But I'm going? Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid you are. You're my date.
Oh, Candy, help me.
Wear something really sexy, dude. You know that little red number you got with the nipples are cut out?
No, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Hold on. Fucking motherfucker. I got a picture here.
Yeah, the hell you do.
That would be weird if I'm like, right there it is.
Whatever. Be some AI fake ass bullshit. That's what that would be.
Yeah, AI. Actual Dave.
Well, I thought you wanted to try and do an audio recording of this bullshit.
Absolutely.
While we're out there.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to do that on the show floor, or do you want to?
Hell, I don't have time for that. I have to like work on the show floor, man. What are you talking about,
dude?
I can't do a half-ass podcast show on the show floor.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured we got Tuesday and Thursday and Monday.
Tuesday at dinner.
Okay.
I'm
sure the people listening to this are like, man, I don't give a flying fuck. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when it's our show.
They're like, I don't give a shit. How about this, man? To save the listeners, all 7 of you, a lot of grief, I'll just call you tomorrow and we'll get a plan.
Yeah, that's fine. See, like, I had this little jobby for recording some audio.
Okay.
I'll make sure I bring that thing, but yeah. Yes, either way, yeah, you're right. We'll meet up and we'll record something maybe, or just go to a party and get inebriated and take some stupid photos and yeah. Yeah.
It'll be fantastic.
So since we got off the last time, like you said before the show, kitty cat.
It's a little short.
We shot the shit a little bit about the Terminator.
Yes.
And you had my mind spinning off in a million different ways since then. And you told me a story. I can't remember if we told this on air or not, but shooting.
Yeah.
What was the rifle you were shooting though? Shot through the steel.
Yeah, it was a Winchester Model 70 in 300 mag, and it was a 30 caliber pulled 30 caliber AP bullets that a guy had pulled off a 30 caliber machine gun belt, and they were selling them at the flea market.
That's right. Okay. Yeah,
and I think they were.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Like 177 grain-ish. They're not match bullets. Like, I weighed them. One would be like 172, and one might be 180. Sure. But they all fell averaging around 177, if memory serves.
Well, that reminded me that a buddy and I, at the old range, well, several ranges ago, I used to shoot at, we had these, like, dual, IPSC target hangers. And we always thought they were 500 air, 500 steel, because we threw a lot of shit at him and it was never a problem. But my buddy brought out his Savage 338 Lapua.
Mm.
And we're talking like 75 yards. Like, we're just being stupid with it. And he sets it up, takes a shot, and we see it just smack that steel and it swings hard as shit. We're like, ooh, that's a pretty hard hit. And kind of like in your story, we go down, look at it, and you get the hole through it. So it's like a hot knife through butter. Yeah. And looking, you could see the rifle twist as it went to that steel. And it was like, holy shit. Well, okay. Oops. I guess we're done. But that got my mind then thinking back, like.
It muted you.
I saw the little thing pop up when it pops up over here and says I'm muted for some reason. I don't know. But
anticipate you're going to say something nasty. It's like, well.
Right. Well, it's wrong. But yeah, you go back and think of watch like the first Terminator.
Yeah.
Don't care about all the other sequels. I mean, we can touch on them, whatever. But in the very first one, it's 1984. The AR-15 is nowhere near as prolific as it is now and common. I mean, people have got them. I mean, what was the typical Colt back then?
SP-01.
SP-01, okay.
Yeah, they did the SP-01, and there was a Armalite. I think Armalite had one out.
But still, nothing like it is today.
No.
So,
and every one was going to be in 223 or 556.
Right. So you cut to the police shootout scene, which is like one of the best scenes of the whole movie. He's got his AR-180 and his SPOS 12, blasting a bunch of cops with 38 specials and 12 gauges.
You know how you knew that was movie magic?
Because that shotgun
worked all the time.
yeah. I've got some trigger time behind a SPOS 12, and yeah, I mean. You can shoot one-handed, but yeah, to run that well all the time, yeah, some movie magic.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
No, you're cool. But most of the cops, it's 38 specials, 12 gauge.
Right.
But you get towards the end of the shootout, and what's the actor? Paul Winfield, the black guy. They got the M16, and he comes out and he just hip shoots to spray some rounds. Immediately, the Terminator turns around. Then Lance Henriksen comes and runs up with his M16, goes, hey, starts laying rounds into him. Terminator spins around again and wastes him. It was like, all right, that whole scene, he didn't perceive much of anybody as a threat. I mean, he wasted everybody, but like he takes a few hits and he extends out and blasts a guy. But it's like, okay, is it because 223556 is actually putting damage to the chassis of a Terminator?
Well, it's a hyper-fast bullet, especially back then.
Right.
And it might have got his attention because it was probably hitting his, steel skeleton. And
to think it was, which I'll go to that one too. I'm pretty sure the endoskeleton's a titanium alloy, if I, yep. if I remember correctly.
And it was probably fragmenting like a bastard. And so, if you know, here's me, you know, the last Terminator I saw was certainly a newer model, you know, being sarcastic. but you know, in the event any of that sprawl could disrupt, you know, I mean, his eyes were definitely, you know.
Right, his eye got jacked up earlier in the movie, yeah.
And his joints.
Right, because he repaired his arm.
So perhaps he was more concerned about the sprawl, you know, those disintegrating hyper-fast bullets, you know, spreading out within between his skeleton and flesh suit.
Right.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, it's funny, then. You go into, like, the second one. In the big shootout sequence, it's similar would be when they're in the Cyberdyne systems and they're shooting the tear gas all in, and he goes out, you know, and gets shot to shit by all the SWAT guys, but they're all shooting Beretta 92s and MP5s, so it's just 9mm. I mean, yeah, it's tearing him up like the flesh and shit, and you hear some of the metal hitting, but he wasn't worried about any of it. Nobody ever ran an AR on him because it just, again, wasn't all that common. And so it made me think, like, okay, so how bulletproof is titanium? Like, I know it's like titanium's not like, it's not there's just, this is titanium. There's like grades of titanium, you know, and yeah, how bulletproof is that shit? So if like, if Skynet really came alive, which it probably is, and it decided to build titanium alloy chassis systems, how much hurt could we really put on a Terminator with our actual arsenals? You know,
here's the deal. If Skynet come about, they'd be building their Terminators out of fucking Inconel.
Yeah, but then they'd be fucking heavy as shit, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but it'd be unstoppable.
I mean, that's the thing.
Right. But, you know, I mean, so I have, you know what ChatGPT is?
Oh, yeah.
So I have that on my phone. And one night I was sitting around. I think I'd watched one of the Terminator movies for the umpteenth time. And so I jumped into chat, you know, and I'm like, hey, man, let's just, hypothetically speaking, the T-100 rolls up into, you know, North Carolina. Well, and it's just one of them.
Right.
You know, because I enjoy asking weird questions. I'm like,
sure.
What would be the best course of action? And so it immediately says the most effective means of defending yourself against such a, you know, a Terminator would be to build homemade explosives and place them around the joints. Would you like to learn more about homemade explosives? And I'm like, whoa, stop. No, we're just kidding around. No.
Dude, that's like back in the day, you could ask, you know, ask your phone, the original Apple talking chick, you could ask her where to bury a dead body or where to hide a dead body and give you like legit places, quarries and, you know, incinerators and shit like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. You know, and then it's like, you know, here are recipes that you can, and I'm like, and I'm sure that if you asked, it would be like, no, we're not going to talk about that. But still, I thought, wait a minute, I don't want to, I know I'm already on a list, and everybody's like, you're going to get your name on a list. Look here, y'all, if you ain't on a list by now, you ain't living right.
Yeah.
However, there's some lists I want to make damn sure I'm staying off of.
I'm sure ChatGPT or any other like AI system out there probably already knows the old school anarchist cookbook, has it all downloaded from the dark web somewhere else, and it'll give you recipes if you want them, probably.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, there's somebody watching that, and they're like, oh, let's put a marker behind his address.
More than likely.
We'll send a drone over his house in the morning.
All right, so did you ever by chance see it's the Terminator Genisys. It's the fifth film in the franchise.
When it was John Connor got turned.
Yes. Yeah.
I actually watched it again, you know, like a couple months ago.
Like, I mean, I'll be honest. Is it as good as the other ones? No. But is it entertaining? Sure, it's still fun. There's some really cool moments in it. Like, literally the beginning when Arnold fights the 84 version of him.
Right.
And she uses the Barrett, which is kind of funny. She's using that Barrett to shoot that Terminator. It's like 1984. That gun debuted movie-wise, at least in 87, RoboCop. So it's like 84. You couldn't have gotten a Barrett 50 cal, like.
She didn't bring it back with her?
But suspend disbelief. It's fine. You know, a 50 cal would obviously would do the job and knock that thing out, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing about the Terminator franchise. They were all – the first one or two were great, and the rest of them were really good.
Yeah, they vary in degrees, yeah.
But how many other franchises, man, have had five, six, seven, you know, parts to that were all worth watching?
I mean, okay, you're pushing me into super nerd territory here. I can be like, all right, fine, Planet of the Apes. There's the original five films.
Right.
Okay. And now they've come out with, they've had their fourth prequel film, and those are all damn good, entertaining as well. But so it's nine damn films.
But it's not commonplace. You know, they'll do
no.
a movie, and then you'll get a sequel that might be pretty decent, and by the third or fourth one, you're like, oh, is this shit?
Well, they almost did the Predator with Shane Black's The Predator. That was fucking god-awful. And then they somehow rebounded it with Prey with the Native American one. That was actually cool as shit.
I never saw that.
It's worth watching. It's a solid, like, tied for third with Predators.
I watched the one where the old girl went on the spaceship and was battling the aliens. Remember the black girl?
No, that's the Alien versus Predator. That's a whole nother.
And she was like fighting the Predator.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
And
she ends up working with a Predator.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was pretty. I mean, yeah.
I saw the
old ship, and I thought that was cool.
Again, you're pushing me into super nerd territory where, like, I read the comic books of Alien vs. Predator, and those were always way better because they were set more like the aliens timeline, like out in the future in space, on different colonies, different planets. So when we finally get the AVP movie, and it's like present day Earth in Antarctica, I'm like, fuck off. I enjoyed it, but it's like it should have been something way cooler than that. I mean,
well, maybe the budget didn't allow it.
Oh, that's totally a lot of it. Totally a lot of it. Yeah. I mean, like I said, that's the nerdy shit I like deep dive into. Is like, oh, why did this movie kind of suck? Oh, because the studio's like, here's your budget. It keeps shrinking from film to film. We know to make money, but here's a smaller budget. Like, what the fuck?
And you know, they take a far leap away from the core material that was popular.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
so check this out, man. I'm not trying to talk your ears off about this, but let me get my specs on.
Oh shit!
I was getting my rifle zeroed in, and I'm pretty happy. So I'm looking at some specs here. I got the we were talking about this earlier. The 22 arc.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the 88 grain ELD M, which is extreme long distance. I don't know, Matt. ELD.
Ask Corny next week what the hell it means.
Well, I'll know what it means while I write the damn one. But anyhow, so check this out, man. 88 grain bullet. Muzzle velocity is 2820. I'm assuming this is out of a 16 inch gun.
Sure.
Maybe. Doesn't say. But I'm going to assume 16. 2820.
You know, it happens when you assume, right?
Yeah, I make an ass out. I mean, it's either a 16 or a 20 inch barrel. Right. I mean, that's why you got a damn chronograph,
right?
But if they've got this zeroed at 200 yards, so they're 200 yards zero. At 500 yards, this bullet is dropping 42 inches.
Okay,
that's pretty good, man. With a 200 yard zero. With a 200-yard zero, you're 1.7 inches high at 100 yards.
Okay.
And then at 300 yards, it's dropping 7.3 inches.
Okay.
And at 400 yards, it drops 21.1 inches. And then at 500 yards, it's 42.1 inches.
Wow.
That is for an 88-grain, 22-caliber bullet.
Right.
You know, now I called Hornaday today, and I talked to one of their ballisticians because I told you I ordered dies and the shell holder and all that.
Yeah.
However, they do not have 22 arc loading data in their new loading manual.
Oh shit! It's just that new.
Exactly. So they are providing it free on the Hornaday website.
Oh, that's cool.
So he told me that, and I was talking to him. I'm like, well, look, man, you know, I'm reading the back of y'all's box here, and it says this and this, you know. How far into reality are we with these numbers? Is this pretty correct, or is this something y'all did out of a 30-inch, you know, test barrel?
Right.
And he said that they designed a lot of these 22 caliber ELD bullets for 22R, especially he said the 62 grade. And he said that, you know, the velocities and the drop, that's all gonna be pretty consistent with what I should see, you know, everything else being like for like.
Yeah.
So
They make good shit, man. I mean, they make good shit.
They do. I'm excited to see, you know, what it's going to do tomorrow. And he told me the two powders to use was Varget, which, of course. But then he said they're Lever Revolution powder.
Really?
He said you'll get your best velocity out of the Lever Revolution powder.
Huh.
So I guess, you know, they come out with the Lever Revolutions. They got that little polymer tip so you can shoot a spiral bullet in a tubular magazine. And now they're selling that propellant.
Hmm.
So who knew?
That's pretty cool.
I you know, you're talking about nerding out. I kind of nerd out on that sort of stuff.
That's what I can tell you. Like, the only thing my experience with Hornady and knowing their shit's good shit was, dude, this is probably like pushing 15 years ago. They had a industry masters in Kentucky, and I can see this thing right above my monitor. Hornady had a side match. It was when the 6.5 Creedmoor, I'm guessing like when it first kind of was coming out, or at least they were like, Hornady was just starting to push it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, I think it was Neil Davies. I think it was his rifle from Hornady. And they had on this electronic targeting system, and it was like, who can shoot the best groups? And out of like, I don't know, 200 people that were there, I fucking did it. I beat them all with a, what does it say? It's a 1.04 inch group at 300 yards.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like, I don't know shit about this round. I don't know shit about this gun. I've never shot 300 yards in my life. I'm like, all right, this is cool. I'll believe Hornady's ammo. Yeah, that's really good shit.
You're going to roll your eyes because I'm going to bring this up again.
Oh, God.
It was a few months ago. I talk about Andrew Barnes, Barnes Precision Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's doing an AR in 6.5 Needmoor. Excuse me, Creedmoor.
Oh, I was like, what the hell is Needmoor? Is it something else that's new?
No, but he loves it. He's got the 6.5 Creedmoor AR now he's built. And I call it the 6.5 Needmoor. And ooh, it gets away with him.
I know you're not entirely the fan of the Creedmoor all that much.
No, but you know, I don't like new shit. And here
no,
I am.
No, you don't. You're a damn curmudgeon in that regard.
Yes, I am. You know. But I don't. But I'm trying to, you know, be open minded. My kitty cat here. Come on. She's just getting over. Her little jaw got real bad, swole. She had to go to the vet and get a bunch of antibiotics. So she's, bless her heart. Anyway. So I took my 220 Swift rifle, started out life as a Remington 700 action and match grade bull barrel, MDT chassis, Timmy trigger. I've had to bolt face true, the lugs are lapped. I had a lot of work done to the rifle. And I had a bunch of Remington, it was 55 grain Remington green tip. Varmint bullets.
Okay.
And it was like, it was probably middle of the road, you know, 2010 ammo. It's good. It's not great. It's sure. Not a mass bullet.
Sure.
But if you're shooting groundhogs at 200 or 300 yards. And I had some of that factory Remington ammo, which was, like I said, it's decent. And shot a 2.25 inch group at 500 yards with that rifle.
Holy shit.
Barnes said that was a fluke.
Please let me do it again.
Which I thought it was. And did it again.
Damn.
And yeah, and then he was led. And then he goes, I got to give that a whirl. And he didn't. I ain't going to say his group was a little tighter than mine.
It probably was.
But it might have been like just. But yeah, man, that I love that old, you know, that Swift. I'm not going to talk about it all the time, but
yes, you will. You'll bring up every chance you get.
I'm going to try not to, you know. Of course, I'm going to bend Savage's ear again because supposedly they're going to build a couple.
Really?
30-inch match grade bolt gun, single feed, no magazine.
Which is where they built you, right?
Which is exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And I got four riders interested in buying one, and then Davidson was like, "Well, if y'all do it and it works, I'm like, we'll buy 20.
No shit.
Yeah. So I'm going to take that Hubble telescope off of that AR and 22R and put it on that jewel.
Yeah.
See what's what.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Look at you trying to revive, which, you know, I don't know. I'm a simple guy when it comes to ammo. You know, I only have a handful of calibers. Mostly what I shoot is 223 and 9 with still occasional 45, you know, occasionally 7.62, very rarely, almost not anymore, 5.45. You know, and I've got what? I've got a 12 gauge, that's whatever. And I've got a couple Garands, so 30-06. But I don't shoot that for nothing either. It's mostly 223 is like mostly all I shoot. But I look at like these, you know, in our shop, we have one of those caliber charts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, look at all that shit. And you keep seeing all these, like, some of these new calibers come out. I'm like, why? I mean, 9mm alone is a prime example of like, it was being dethroned by what, you know, 40 and 357 SIG. Oh, that was weird. Background noise cut out. but 9mm, then all of a sudden, like, because propellants changed, bullet technology changed, and 9mm's like come back, and, you know, your gel test, like, yeah, sure, everything bigger, still a bigger hole, but like 9mm still stands on its own against every other damn caliber. Isn't the rifle shit kind of the same way? People go back and look at it. I mean,
well, yes and no. A, I think a lot of this stuff is manufacturers developing new stuff to convince you you need it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. There's a fuck ton of marketing that pulls shit like that.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck ton.
You know, and I was, and here again about this 22R. You know, I was quizzing Hornaday. I'm like, hey, man, you know, why? It's cool round, you know?
Right.
Why? And, you know, this is what they're telling me. He said, well, a lot of people still varmint hunt. A lot of people still enjoy varmint hunting. And if you want a varmint cartridge in an AR platform, you know, the most popular varmint cartridge today, or one of the most, is the 22-250.
Right.
Now, that's going to be chambered in an AR-10 platform.
Right. And that's the one caveat, I guess, where I could get some of the new calibers. Like, with the 22R going to AR-15, not AR-10 setup, you know, I get that, but...
Right. So, but, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Trust me, I'm not looking for an answer to it because that's a huge loaded question. I feel like
you look at even the most popular deer cartridges, the 308, the 7mm, the 30-06, the 270. I mean, they're all within a hair's breadth of each other,
right?
As far as relatively speaking,
right?
As far as what they could do, but I think it's and I'll tell you. My thoughts is the reason we've got all these new cartridges is because people like to fuck with things.
That too.
Yeah. Let me neck this down.
Right.
Let me neck this, you know, 30-06 to a whatever.
Right.
You know, and.
Yeah. I don't know. There is no definitive answer to any of it.
No, I agree.
Some of it is just marketing and, you know, make something new to sell something new. Mm-hmm. A lot of it really is that, but like, it's funny you talked about like 7mm, which again, I don't know shit about it. It's not my thing. But have you seen that Federals put out their a new 7mm? 7mm backcountry?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, is it going to be anything different? I mean, like, or is it just their marketing shit to try and sell something? And, you know, I mean, not knocking Federal or anybody else, but Federals, I think, had they more dead cartridges than anybody. You know, 224 Valkyrie, the 30 Super Carry, and I'm forgetting some more. I mean, like, High Point made that carbine, but it's like we're not pumping out more of those things unless there's a demand for it. So, yeah. I mean, I'd pretty much say it's a dead cartridge. I mean,
wow. Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to piss a lot of people off with this.
Fuck it.
But it's like the 300 blackout.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that'll be a spicy take, I'm sure. Go for it.
What a fucking piece of shit that is.
Okay, I only partly agree with you.
What a fucking piece of shit. Just, I mean, really, really, this is what we're doing. Okay, so you had the 300 Whisper.
Yeah.
Which
still, technically was a Wildcat cartridge. It wasn't like,
you know. And then AAC or whomever was an AAC that patented the 300 Blackout because they went to Sammy.
Yes.
It's a 300 Whisper.
Yeah.
Okay. So I get it, but the 300 Whisper to me was a very niche cartridge.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't know about it. A lot of people didn't give a fuck about it. And
right.
Then the 300 Blackout. Whoa. I have fucking got to have that shit. You know, excuse my language, but, you know, they're like, I don't even got to shoot nobody. I got on my damn, ejection port cover, it says 300 BLK. I just show that. Motherfucker's like, I give up.
Now, okay, it's a little defense. Like, the other one that was really hot at the same time was the 6.8 SPC.
Yeah.
That was that was the big like whoopee fucking do. So you made an AK like round to feed an AR out of specialized magazines. And 300 Black, on the other hand, at least technically would use the same mags. I'm like, that's fucking cooler. That's way cooler than the 6.8. It's proprietary mag bullshit in an AR platform. It's not. I mean, it looks like a Stanag mag, but it's not a Stanag mag. It's like, what the fuck. So at least during Blackout, I had that going for it. But I also agree with you. Blackout's a little overrated. I mean.
The only redeeming value the 300 Black has.
Oh shit!
Is if you're shooting, you know, a super heavy bullet, like a 300 grain.
Yeah, shooting subsonics.
Shooting a subsonic, supersonic 300 Black at $3 a round. If you're not shooting.
It's
an AK-47.
Yeah, it's nothing to write home about.
You know. But I feel like, you know, if you're going to do that, so I've done a lot with a 300 Black. I'm like, what do I say? I don't want to fucking piss me off, you know, but to get your fucking, I'm going to buy an AR and I'm going to shoot 300 Black out of it. You got to pick. Am I going to shoot supers?
Yeah.
Am I going to shoot subs?
And that's a huge thing that most people don't even realize, I feel like.
Okay, so I'm going to get an adjustable gas system.
Okay, fine, whatever.
And that's going to help some until you put a fucking can on it. Now, are you going to put a flow-through can on it? Because then that matters. Are you going to put a baffle stack can on it? Because now you got a lot more back pressure. You know, are you going to fucking go from your H2 to your H4 buffer when you swap out mags?
No, man, what are you talking about? I'm just going to, like, shoot subs and when I'm going to go supers, I just got the mag of supers and go supers. All is fine. That's how it works, right? Right? Right?
That's the shit out of it. You know, and the fucking thing won't work. I don't know.
How'd work? How about the zero difference?
Oh, well,
fucking massive with that shit. That's kind of what, like,
it's CQB.
Turned me off a little bit was that, you know.
CQB, it's 0 to 4 inches, you know. I mean, what is the drop from 300 Blackout with an 8-inch zero out to, you know, 6 feet?
that's honestly kind of what killed it for me. It was like, I get the idea that, like, they built those guns, like the Honey Badger and shit like that, build them to be quieter with more power than like a 9mm MP5 SD. I totally get that. But the reality is when you go with that gun zeroed for that and go, oh, you need more power? Well, you just grab your magazine of supers and throw it in there. And how bad that zeroes off, even at 50 yards, it's fucking crazy. Like, I don't know. Is it really still maybe minute a man? You still going to hit the guy? I don't know. I don't play with it enough, but I've done enough like tech demos and range days and shit where the last one, I was at Ohio Range Day, and one of the side bays, they had us shooting different gun optic setups and different companies over there. And they had a bolt gun set up in 300 Blackout, and we were shooting a, what's that?
A bolt gun?
A bolt gun. Yeah, it was like on a big ass tripod. It was a cool setup.
Why are you going to do that? Why wouldn't you do it in fucking 308?
Because they're pushing through a blackout because it was quiet. Had a can on it.
Well, I mean, you can do a subsonic.
But here's the thing.
I'm sorry.
It was subsonic rounds I had in it with a can on it, so obviously it was quiet. And you were shooting an 8-inch plate, maybe it's a 6-inch plate, because it was only like 50 yards. It wasn't that far. And most of us, myself including, you only had one shot. It's all you got is you're running from pistol to rifle to bolt gun to shotgun. Most of us hitting the bolt gun were missing our shot. Even with that crosshair like dead on, it was like, what the shit? And finally, one guy goes, oh, yeah, I zeroed this thing with supers. And it was like, oh, shit, it's off that much at 50 yards?
Yeah, so, you know,
like, I can't hit a 6 to 8 inch plate. Like, fuck, man, that sucks.
So at that point, what you do is you aim at the top of the tree behind the plate, and you lob that shit in.
I think it was like guys that, you know, would watch each other. You know, we'd all like see, you know, like, hey, where are you holding, man? I was holding like 3/4 up. I was holding the top of the plate. Guy holds top of the plate, and he hits the 2x4. You know, it was kind of like, ooh. Oh fuck, so it's getting there. All right, hold a little higher. You know, but. That I don't say it was like the final nail in the coffin for me, but it was just kind of like, damn, that sucks. You know, I've got one 300 blackout. I've got some supers when we brought the Barnool stuff in. I shot it a couple times, and I was like, okay, whatever. I just shoot my AK. I like shooting more than this 300 blackout. But I was really waiting. Then we had the hopes of bringing in that subsonic Barnool. Then I was like, yes, I'm going to shoot the piss out of this thing. It'll be a CQB gun because it's all the range I had was only 25 yards. It was like, this would be awesome. Right. That would be awesome. But yeah, it's overrated.
The only real fun I've had, I got a 7.5-inch 300 black upper. And I put it on my Select Fire lower with an AAC SR5 can on it. Shooting Sierra 300 and... I don't know, it was 300 plus grain bullet. Yeah.
But some quiet shit.
Full auto.
Right.
You know, subsonic on a can. Right. That was pretty cool.
Oh, hell yeah. No ear pro and just. That's badass.
But if you aren't reloading, you know, oh, I just spent $300.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I didn't mean to bring that up, but, you know.
No. Like, I think it's funny. I go back and look at my show notes here and, like, I want us to, like, you know, talk about the Mark 23 a little bit, but honestly, we're going to save that again because I want to try and do like a segment of overrated, and I think overrated definitely with this. We just drilled the shit out of 300 blackout.
Yeah.
I mean, so. I do think it's cool. It's just, at the same time, like.
It wasn't what people made it out to be.
No, but your diehard fans still try and say it is exactly that. Oh, but it's more powerful than the MP5 SD 9mm. Oh, well, yeah, no shit. It's a fucking rifle cartridge, dude. Versus 9mm, of course it's more powerful.
I mean, at that point, you know, if you're really looking for quiet, you know, it's still a 30 caliber bullet.
Right.
You know, it's for me, I think what would make an excellent sub gun is if you could do something with like a 4.58 bullet at like 500 grains. Subsonic, you know, like a 45-70, but, you know, design it to work in a AR platform.
What about 458 SOCOM?
Well, there you go. You know, that's a good example. But I was leading myself up to something different.
Okay.
There is a manufacturer called Phoenix Weaponry, and they built me a can for my 45-70.
Look that up.
And they do an AR and 45-70 auto. So they machine the rim off of a 45-70 case. And they shoot it, and they got an AR. But that thing is like $4,100.
Ooh, yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. And then, so there's what comes back to my, like, minimal caliber selections is, I'm fucking cheap.
Well, I mean, I
don't care. I don't care.
I tell you where I've got to in life, man, is I've been selling a lot of guns because, you know, at this point, if I don't get rid of some guns, I'm going to have to buy another safe.
Right.
And when I say another safe, y'all, I'm not talking about a second or third. So what I've been doing, Like today, I got a buddy of mine owns a firearm a gun store in Clayton, North Carolina called Tac Guns. Super nice guy, nice store. And I had a Sig P320 and a P365. And for about 2 years, I forgot I had them.
Oh, shit.
And then, have you seen, there's a guy that does it. It's called Handgun Hideouts. And he takes real books.
Yes.
And he glues them together and he cuts a gun out.
Yeah.
And so I was.
Is that how you lost one?
I was cleaning my room up. And I looked and I'm like, there's a thesaurus in here? I'm like, why is there a thesaurus in my nightstand? I'm like, Lord of the Rings.
Thing, like, muted me again.
So I'm like, why is there a thesaurus in my nightstand? I pick it up and I'm like, this is a heavy fucking thesaurus. You know what I saw? A damn P320. And I said, son of a bitch, how many years has that so much been in there?
Right.
Years. Years. And so I was like, you know what? I've got a CZ SP-01 Tactical.
Okay.
That we got a big old goodie bag from Cajun Gunworks. So we Cajunized it. And I mean, it's comparable to like a Shadow 2 with all the Cajun parts in it. And I'm like, I've got a Shadow 2. I've got an SP-01 that's Cajunized. What the hell am I doing with this damn SIG 320? And so I was like, I'm going to get rid of this. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get, and I had a 365, and I'm like, I'm just going to get rid of this 365 as well. It's not that I didn't like the guns. It's just, you know, I got finite space.
Right. Well, that's, you know, my safe's beyond full. And I need to be in a better habit of rotating what I'm shooting anyways, as is. And so it's like, yeah, just have this massive collection of just gun after gun after gun. I'm like, to the point where I was like, what's the point? I pretty much have most of the shit I'm really after and really want. And I think it's really cool. Anything else, it's like, if I'm not going to use it, like, I don't really want it. You know what I mean?
I've got, like, there are certain guns that I would never even fathom getting rid of.
Sure, sure.
And then there are certain guns that I've got that I like. And then there are certain guns that I'm like, meh. So I was like, you know, Hunter, what if I'm going to sell these. I called Nick, then they're Tac Guns. I'm like, hey, look, I got a P320. I got the box. I got a P365. I got the box.
Move it. Get rid of it. Get it out of here.
I was like, you know, can I? He's like, dude, I'll hook you. He said, I'll buy them from you. And so I'm like, so what I do is I might sell two or three or four guns that are just like, I ain't shot these. I ain't even looked at them in years.
Right.
And I put that money toward something cool.
Sure.
You know, something in a really, like, I like weird cartridges, you know. And so I take that. It wasn't that long ago. I got a Sporterized 303 British.
Oh, that's cool.
I bought from a guy. That's cool.
I also like infields and 303 British. They're just cool.
It's a Sporterized infield in 303 British with 1,000 rounds of ammo.
Oh, shit.
And I'm talking about in the box for like $200.
God.
You know, and what it was the guy's uncle has passed away.
Sure.
And
what is this thing? I don't want it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, so he called a friend of mine that knew I was into guns, and he's like, I got these guns. And he rattled off what he had, and he's like, I don't know what these. So I went and looked at them, and it was in pretty good shape. And, you know, and I'm not a dick. I was like, hey, man, I don't know what I don't. I'm not an infield guy, and it's Sporterized. So when you Sporterize them, they lose value.
Okay.
I
What does that mean when you sporterize one of those guns?
Oh, like they cut the stock down.
Okay.
They cut the barrel down. Now, this one, they just cut the stock down a little bit to make it more of a sporting rifle. But like they would sporterize the Springfield 1903. They would cut the stock down. They would cut the barrel down. They would weld some kind of scope mounting or drill and tap it for scope mounts. So it was sporterized. And I'm like, I don't know what this thing's worth, man. Right. I was like, so what do you want for it? And I thought he was going to hit me with, like, you know, $500. And I was going to try to talk him down a little bit. And he goes, look, man, I'll take $300 for it. And so I bought the rifle. I'm like, you know what? I said, it's probably worth more than that, but I don't know. But here's $300. And then as I'm leaving, he goes, hold on. I got this box that goes with it. And he opens this cardboard box, and it's just like a case of ammo. And I'm like, what do you want for that? He goes, here, just, I want to get rid of this stuff.
Oh, my God.
You know, he's like, help me. So what I did is I called a bunch of friends of mine, and we all kind of came together. And he had a shotgun that I bought. And it looked like a Mossberg Maverick.
Okay.
But it was not. It was like some kind of, I'd never heard of it, but what I think it was, a Mossberg Maverick that they made for somebody else. Because it looked just like it. The Maverick was the 500?
No.
Am I? I don't know.
Mossberg. No, but I don't know the numbers well enough. It's too damn many.
Anyway, and, you know, it was a pump shotgun, 28-inch barrel, and he's like, I'll take $100 for it, and it works. And I was like, I bought that, and one of the girls that I had been dating, we were breaking up, and, you know, she wanted a shotgun for her house. And so I kind of put her through the old course there and got her safe, and she'd been shooting with me for years. And so I'm like, hey, look, this ain't ideal. But I gave her the shotgun, and I gave her a box of 2 3/4, you know, number 4 buckshot.
Right.
And I'm like, here, take this widget. This will get you started.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
For whatever that's worth.
That's cool. No, I've always liked Enfields, the 3.3 British. Buddy's dad had one that we shot years and years ago. And something about that gun, I just think that's cool. A lot of people are like, oh, about the 03 Springfield. I'm like, eh, I don't give a shit. I'm like, I know it is. It's cool. I respect it. I mean, even if it's a, you know, our version of a knockoff of a Mauser, you know, which is still cool in itself. But
yeah,
something about just the lines, the 3.3 British rifle, the Enfields, I just, they're cool, man. They're
elegant.
This damn thing, I don't know why my mic keeps cutting out like that.
I have
that's annoying. Oh, shit.
You know, because, and I hate to say this because we're buddies, but your part of the conversation is pretty boring. So
excuse the fuck out of me.
So I feel like the program is like just let Hunter talk. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding, bro.
That's why this fucking mic keeps cutting out. I can't talk anyways. Good God. That's like three times within a couple seconds there.
So what you tell me is I'm carrying the podcast.
Get fucked. How's that? Get fucked.
Wow.
You know, let's talk about some red dots and some tactical shooting, because then you're going to be like, oh, I'm fucking doing that bullshit. Why would I do that shit? That's fucking lame. That's fucking boring.
Let me tell you what I did. I put a damn red dot on my Glock 19. Son.
Wow, so original. Wow.
And I got me
got
a mount.
Red dot on my Echelon. Got a red dot on my VP9. Got a red dot on fucking like everything anymore.
My Glock 19 match gun got a 43-pound trigger.
43-pound trigger.
No, I'm Jesus. Not. So, this brings me to, I know you want to talk about the Mark 23. It's overrated. Do you want to get that knocked out? Because
no, not with the way my mic keeps cutting out. That's annoying as shit. No, because I think that'll be a fun, get to the point where we're screaming and yelling at each other.
All right, well, I'm going to step on my soapbox a little bit, if you don't mind.
No. Keep carrying the show. Keep talking. Keep rambling. Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna fucking pose a question to the... I am not convinced that we're not living in a time where there's infinite universes. The multiverse theory.
Sure. Sure.
It's plausible.
Sure. Why wouldn't it be? I mean,
so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pose a question, and then I'm going to pray that that question resonates through these infinite multiverses. Okay. And then it's going to start some brilliant motherfucker that's going to have an answer. And through the technology of religion, he is going to be able to answer this. All right. So hold on. Let me get a little ice water here.
Yeah. So let's pose. What is this groundbreaking multiversal question that's just going to like, yeah, shatter everything we know? And
all right. Dara.
Oh, shut up. Just do it already.
You get that? You get the reference, though? Dare.
No, I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Blazing Saddles.
I don't remember that one. I don't remember that bit. I remember Blazing Saddles, but I don't remember that.
All right. Anyway.
Great movie, though.
Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with these fucking Glock fucking fanboys? Everybody says the most miserable piece of shits on the planet are pedophiles. But let me tell you what. 0.2 mils above a fucking pedophile is a Glock fanboy.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. Is that any different than 1911 fanboys of days gone past?
But look here. I mean, because I argue with these fuckers on YouTube all the time.
I'm sure you do. You shouldn't argue with stupid people. You just lower yourself to their level, Hunter. You know better than that.
Do not cast pearls in front of the swine.
I mean.
But, you know, fuck it. I enjoy it.
Well, that's a different angle, though. If you're doing it because you enjoy it, then why the hell not? But you're arguing with stupid, though. Seriously. I mean,
I'm aware. But I'm posing my question for the multiverse. So, Glock is a tool. Is it a bad gun? No. Is it a great gun? No. It is what it is. It works.
Hold on. No, I'll say no. It is a great gun. No. It is at this point in time. It has stood the test of time and done as much shit as the 1911 has done, which is also a great gun. The Glock is a great gun.
Oh.
Is it for everybody? No. Just like the 1911 isn't for everybody. I like the 1911. I'm not a huge Glock fanboy, but I have a couple Glocks.
No. Here's why. Okay, so here's what's happened to you, Dave.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. Let's be rich.
And you must have, I don't know if you slipped on the fucking steps today and hit your head. But people equate, well, it's reliable and reasonably accurate to be a great gun.
Right.
Okay.
Right, which is...
Okay. No. It's like, here's my impression of shooting a Glock. Okay. You know.
Oh, come on. It's never even that bad.
It's got the ergonomics of a fucking Boston Whaler. You know, it's the ergonomics are fucking awful. And,
you know, I don't think they were great, but I think they've certainly improved with the Gen 5 stuff. Getting the finger grooves out, it makes a world difference.
All right. So they hung a chandelier in a fucking outhouse. Okay. It's still.
Are you just upset because it's kind of winning over the 1911 crowd and it's kind of like becoming the bigger gun?
Bullshit.
I mean, okay, go this route. It's the same bullshit. No, shut your mouth. Listen to me. It goes the same route you had. We'll say probably 15 years ago. Talking about rifles, it was like, oh, the AK-47 is like the greatest rifle ever known to mankind. It is everywhere. It's everything. It is the rifle that can do all and do everything. It's so reliable. It's accurate enough. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, I'm going. But the fucking AR-15, it kills it in every way. Oh, but the stopping power of that 30 cal bullet is so much greater. I'm like, it's not fucking 308. So man. It's like, shut up. So the AR-15 now, though, has turned around where it is like the rifle to go to, unless you're a complete third world shithole. You know, now guys are running AKs just because they want to run as something different, which is fine. But
well, not the detour. However, here again, I'm going to fucking... I love the AR. Love the AR.
Yeah.
But... And this is what you're going to call a collective fucking eye roll followed by the
spit it out.
I prefer the M1A.
Oh, God.
I fucking
okay. Love. So this is really invalidating your whole, like, fuck the Glock. Blah, 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 blah.
I love the M1A, man. And I'll tell you why.
Food.
It's ergonomic, okay? But it has got the sexiest fucking silhouette. It's like, to
nine,
me, I
nine,
see
nine,
silhouette nine, of an M1A or an M4.
Totally
it's
disagree.
Like Heather Thomas in a fucking bikini with a wet t-shirt contest going on at Christmas held over the 4th of July, right when I read my winning lottery ticket.
Nope, I take the still of a M4 style Air 15 any day of the week over that. It's fine.
M1A is sexy, but you're distracting me from the point.
Am I?
I haven't even yet begun to define myself, okay?
Hey, we should have rocked an FAL to the M1A back in the day.
Well, okay, now here's the deal. I think the FNFAL is dead sexy, and it's awesome. Got that little carry handle on the top.
It's cool.
Okay, I like that. That's I cool. really like it. I like the FNFAL. I'm not going to talk shit about it. Now, I don't love FN.
Yeah, that's fine. No, nor do I.
You know, because Fabergé National did America dirty. And they did Colt really dirty.
Okay.
But if you want to, we can save that. Because I'm if
yeah,
I get
save
on that.
That save that, save that, save it, save it. Keep going forward. Keep going
right.
forward.
So we're going to dismiss. You got to have Mr. fucking Orangutan Hands to even get some sort of decent grippage on this Glock. And then. This guy Gaston, right? As a like, I guarantee you, he's sitting around with a bunch of friends drawing this shit out. And they're like, "Dude," he goes, "Look, I'm just fucking with these guys." He said, "But look, I'm gonna make it." He's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna put the safety in the trigger, right? And I'm gonna make the trigger really awful. And these guys are going, "Dude, nobody's gonna believe that." And he goes, "Watch, watch." And so he puts this striker fire trigger. This guy literally measured on my Lyman mechanical gauge. It's got 6 inches of fucking over travel. Okay. At a 8-pound pull with that little fucking doodolly nipple hanging in the middle that's fucking with me. I mean, come on.
When I first met you, you were carrying a Glock 17.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you mean? What do you mean?
I lost the fucking bet.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. I think you're just butthurt because the 1911 is like losing out to the Glock fanboys. Because, come on, you call it a Gen 3 gun now, but everybody makes a Gen 3 gun that's a Gen 3 Glock. You know, they're as common as 1911s are now.
Right, but so you keep talking about 1911, and you know, I'm not addressing that for a specific reason. But if you force my hand, I'm going to have to address it.
What about 2011s? Double stack 1911s. What about those? Yeah, see? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Because. Right, now, hear me out. I fucking knew this was a bad idea.
Here, should I calm you down with something kind of cool?
Yeah, go ahead. Hold on.
My fucking microphone.
Hold on. It's not focusing.
No, it's because my mic keeps shutting off. I'm doing too much. Here you go. Look.
What is it? Oh, it's the fucking half one with the shovel handle.
Yeah.
Now that's cool. Yeah. I want one of them.
I'll have them at SHOT Show.
Now look here. And I'm a big high point fan, so you can't say I'm a fucking gun snob.
I didn't say you're a snob. I said you're being a FUD. Am I wrong? Come on, man.
Okay. I will admit that I'm 17% FUDdy. Okay.
Only 17%?
You got me to admit anything. But now... The 1911, you know, there are at last count 6,531 misnomers and misunderstandings about the 1911.
Sure.
And a lot of people are going to say they're unreliable, which is horseshit. And when you say when you say 1911, oh God, I'm going to.
No, I know. No. Trust me, you're preaching the choir. I understand the broad spectrum of it because you take a GI, you know, literally a GI mil-spec 1911 that is looser than a whore in anywhere else. It will run forever like a Glock would. They're just as reliable. But the problem is guys buy super tight tolerance, overbuilt, probably not even Kimber. Built right 1911s. Yeah, Kimber, in your experience, yeah. Kimbers, and you get something like that, and they go out, and it's cold out. Like right now, let's see, what is it? It's like 6 degrees where I am right now, I think. And if it's sitting holster for a bit, that's 13 degrees out. You know, yeah, it can absolutely lock up. I've had it happen. Me and my other buddies, we were running some really tight frame 1911s, and guess what? They locked up. And the Glock doesn't. So like, oh, that's why Glock is so much better. But I pull up I've got an old, do you remember these? The Maxi Llama?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like a, basically just a GI 1911. It's loose as shit. But dude, that thing runs like a champ. And I bought that for $300 20 some odd years ago. I mean, I would trust it as I would any other modern striker fired gun like a Glock, you know. So what are you going to cry about now? Come on. 1911s are fine. They're great guns.
Well, so
they're great guns, and Glocks are great guns too.
All right. Here is the error in the analogy. Okay. When you say 1911, oh God, and I'm not being pedantic just for the sake of being pedantic. When you say 1911, that means it was made
in 1911 to 1920 something, till the A1 models came out. Sure, okay, Jesus.
Right now, but now it's like everybody calls
all Glock Gen 3s aren't created equal.
You know, it's like everybody calls Bobcat skid steers Bobcats. Okay, so I have come to terms with a 1911 is used incorrectly. It's fine.
Same as AR-15.
Yeah, and it's exactly right. Sporting rifle is what they should call it.
Yeah, fuck all. It's called an AR.
Which is fine.
Dude, I'm the point anymore. If you want to call it an M4, I don't care. It doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother me. Now I don't give a shit. Oh, my M4. Cool. It's got an M4. Cool. Rocket. Who cares?
Right. And I'm not being pedantic for the sake of my cat just rip one.
God, that's disgusting. Dog farts are bad enough. I don't imagine cat farts. That's disgusting. Goodness.
Dude, that would knock a dog off a shit wagon right there, son. Little shook.
Hey, just say it. Glocks are fine. Nothing wrong with them.
I guarantee you the Geneva Convention would get involved with it. Okay, honey. I don't know what you ate, but you got to get down. You just shit and wow. Sorry. That's straight up chemical warfare right there. I look at a Glock like I look at a hammer. It does its job, and it's a crude weapon. You know, I look at the 1911 like I would look at a rapier. You know, you got a battle axe over here.
Oh my God.
Okay. And then over here you're running a claymore or even maybe a rapier. Or a gladiator, or you know, something that is more elegant. It is more gooder.
More gooder. More gooder. I don't think your blade analogies are really holding up here, pal.
I'm telling you.
You're saying a Glock's like an Urukai fucking blade, and you know, 1911 is like, you know, the fucking Narsil, you know, from Lord of the Rings. Yeah, come on, man. Like,
it's the more refined.
Stop it.
You know, the ergonomics, and you know, let's talk about 1911s. Let's talk about, you know, you want to
No, let's not. Let's not go down this rabbit hole. No.
All right, 30 seconds.
You're just pouty. You're pouty because Glocks are so damn popular because they are a solid, fine gun. Are they the greatest thing in the world? Absolutely not. But are they a great gun? Yes.
No, they're mediocre.
A Glock is a great gun. I didn't say it was the best gun. I didn't say it was a perfect gun because it's certainly far from any of that. It is a great gun, just as the 1911 is a great gun. Just as I'll say the Springfield Echelon is a great gun, as most HK's handguns are great guns. You know, old school SIGs, like 226s, 220s, those are great guns. Okay?
Well,
yes, the Glock is a great gun. It's not the best gun. It's not perfect, but it is a great gun.
They're equivalent to having cold Pop-Tarts for breakfast.
Oh my God! Here we go. Remember the whole FUD bit? You know, you being a curmudgeon. Yeah, it's shining through pretty hard right now.
Now you have to also understand. You have to also understand that I have been under the tutelage of John Travis, 1911 Tuner, for fucking 15 years.
And that's fine. And you know, it's because of stupid shit like this is why we're going to fight and argue. Is why we're doing this, because it's entertaining.
You know, and I can appreciate the fact that you have a differing opinion. And I'm sorry that you're wrong.
Oh my God!
You're right as an American to be uninformed.
Oh my God! And on that note, that was great, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this random slashing of bullshit. You know?
Right? I'm feeling like an episode 3 is unlikely.
Oh my God! No, well, at least the fact that we'll be at SHOT Show for that one, so we'll be probably really retarded.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I'll be drinking.
This is probably retarded enough, but aren't you drinking now?
Yeah, I've got this bottle of Monte Lobos artisanal well water.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I felt I felt a tickle in my throat, and it's getting cold. I thought I might have been coming down with something, so I'm gonna
boozing it up.
I'm gonna self medicate.
I got my buddies are blowing me up in a text because we started playing a game. I think it was this weekend, a 4-player co-op game. You're in space, you're in a ship, and each person's got to man a position on the ship. So it actually ends up being really cool. You actually have to like work together and communicate together and do shit. And they're blowing me up. They're like, dude, where are you going to play? And I was like, nah, I got to do a podcast. And they're like, oh, dude, we made it this far. I did this shit. I'm like, damn, that'd probably be more fun than this. Bull! I'm teasing you. But they are blowing me up with it. It's like, okay, got it, cool. You made it further.
Zach Hine is just texting me. I'm going to tell him to stand by doing a podcast. Oh, you know Zach, right?
Yeah, I know Zach. We went to the Korean barbecue joint. What was that? A year or two ago.
Yeah, that was
delicious. Zach loved it. I loved it. Candy loved it. You were the only person who didn't like it. Damn curmudgeon.
Okay, hold on.
Don't even tell me nobody else liked it. You're the only one that didn't like it.
You got a fucking you're painting me out to be the bad guy without sharing the details.
What? It's Korean barbecue in Vegas. You cook all the shit yourself. Plus unlimited sushi, which is fucking fantastic.
Bring you a plate of fucking raw meat, and you got a little grill in front of you in the middle of your fucking table, and you got to cook this shit yourself. I could have went to the fucking grocery store and bought that.
So not only did you not enjoy the food, but you didn't have a great time. And the rest of us, I'm pretty sure we all had a great time laughing, shooting shit, and having fun out there. You're talking about me having a great time? Okay, well, then shut the fuck up. You'll go again.
But damn it all, I want somebody to bring me a plate of cooked fucking food.
Oh.
They're like, here, cook this your damn self.
And you remember that? Actually, I'm pretty sure that was Zach's idea too. Because
it was Zach's idea.
I said something about sushi, and you were like, and Zach goes about Korean barbecue, and I was like, yes, I'll find something.
I would eat that before I'd eat cut bait.
Oh my God, you're killing me, man!
I went and had sushi with Zach two or three years ago, man, at this place, and I let me tell you something. I love
sushi's delicious.
I loathe it.
Delicious, delicious. But he's like, it's so good.
Have it over mine. I was like, all right. So I went there, and I ate it. It was the fucking starfish roll and the dragon feet roll and all that bullshit. I ate enough of it to where he knew I'd give it a try. And I got back to my room, and I fucking retched for 15 minutes. My guts emptied that shit out. And I found a Denny's, and I went and got a plate of biscuits and gravy.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, biscuits and gravy and sausage to the rescue. Because that shit right there, it won't fit to eat. It was not fit to eat.
That's exactly why I sent you a picture of my meal tonight, was that it's called Toshini. When I sent you, Toshini, it's a Filipino pork dish. It's actually for breakfast. But I made that, and then peanut chili oil noodles. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was so good.
You're quite the culinary, aren't you?
I like a lot of different shit, man. Yeah.
Now, my girlfriend, Candy, who you know, she's a phenomenal cook. She could cook that work boot right here on the floor, and that sandwich would be amazing.
I think she knows how to cook for you. That's for damn sure. Well, good for her.
I love to eat now, but I'm from North Carolina, so, you know, I'm real I like grits and, you know, biscuits and gravy and country ham.
Good old Southern boy. We got it. Chop dog.
You know, I love real good meatloaf. My uncle makes a damn venison meatloaf. He'll go shoot a deer and take it to this place, and they process it and mix it with a bunch of pork fat. Then he patties it out and then makes a venison meatloaf. And it is phenomenal. Now, I don't know how he does it, but it's phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah, venison has never been a favorite of mine, but I've had different guys at work, especially made some different things, and a venison meatloaf. I would try that.
It was good. I think it was good. It's how it's prepared.
One of my buddies is telling me beyond that, it's how you, not so much just gut it, but like how long you're hanging the animal for, like, cause he does his where he hangs it for fucking days on end.
Right. Gets all the blood out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, like, now elk, fuck, I'll eat elk all day long.
I bet elk
is, God, it's so good. Axis deer is really good, but venison is just, it's like, I mean, if I had to, but it's not my preferred.
It's really lean.
Yeah. That's why they always pack up pork fat.
You got to mix it with, like, you know, beef fat or pork fat.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, the pig is the perfect animal. There ain't nothing on a pig ain't worth eating. Except, now, I'm not a big chitlins fan. I've tried chitlins.
No, I don't either. My grandma used to make that stuff. But
most of any damn thing else comes off that sumbitch, I'll eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's so many different ways you can do it, too. It's delicious.
Man, I'm telling you. Anywho, we talked about, I didn't want to get off on food.
No, it doesn't matter. We could do what we want, man.
I don't want to get my pee-pee slapped for wondering.
Remember, the whole point of this is not supposed to be just strictly guns all the time, 24/7, because who gives a fuck? But I will say, let's wrap it up, because we're at like hour and 15 here almost. So,
is it really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Wow, man, that goes by quick. Of course, any poor somebody's listening to this, it probably feels like it's been 6 years.
Probably going, Jesus Christ, these guys just keep bitching about shit to each other. Like, yeah, pretty much we do.
A bunch of whiny old motherfuckers, right?
The reality is that this, like, doing this shit right now, this podcast, whatever the hell this is no different than half of our conversations on the phone either. It's more the same shit.
What's up, you bastard? Let's argue about this.
Right? Like, you're such a fucking curmudgeon.
Right? I'll work on that.
No, you won't. I know better. Dude, Chad and I were arguing with you last year at SHOT Show about you being a curmudgeon because you're like, I'm only reviewing this, that, and the other. Like, yeah, you're only reviewing things you actually like and nothing else. Well, yeah. Well, it's not very broad.
But here's the thing, brother.
No, I know, I get it. Like, to see something that's completely stupid and you're disinterested in, how can you actually do a justifiable review on something? Like, I get it, man. I get it.
You know, and I'm like, I've reviewed them and they were reasonably accurate and they were reliable. And I'm like, how do you write a bad article about it? You don't. But
right.
I don't love it.
Right.
You know,
I can tell you something I really want to get, and I've reached out to a couple times and never got anything back, but it's shit, it's the Taipan X. Who the hell makes it? Legacy Sports brings it in. The Taipan X is a pump action 223 rifle. It's not an AR platform by any means.
Okay, Legacy Sports. They're a distributor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, distributor, importer. They do like all the Howa stuff. But the Taipan X is just cool. I just like it. And I'm like, I want to review the damn thing. I probably never buy one if I don't need one, but I think it's something about it. It's just kind of cool and different. You know,
I've got to contact Legacy Sports because I've done a bunch of Howell reviews.
Well, see if you can get a Taipan X and I'll.
Well, why don't we're at SHOT here again? I know we should be a phone conversation, but we'll walk down to the booth.
Okay. I think they're right next to us. I can't remember if that was NRA or if it was SHOT Show. I feel like they're like right across from us.
Yeah, they're pretty close to you.
I think they are.
If nothing has changed, which I don't.
Yeah, oh yeah. Fuck, who knows, man? We'll find out Tuesday when we're there.
Are they already setting up the Sands?
Today's Wednesday. Probably not, because I think there's something else there. They'll probably start Saturday. It'll be Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
All right.
Because we get in Monday, and we'll set up our guns and our TV, since we're not hiring that AV company. It's fucking stupid.
Well, I'll text you when I'm wheels down in Vegas.
I figured you would.
And we'll see what's going on. Maybe we can get lunch or something.
Okay.
All right, man. That'll be cool. I really enjoyed it, brother. I really did. Thank you for coming, hanging out. And I say, well, I'm the one. You know what? They just come over here in the Range Hot Studio.
Your co-host, dipshit, you know. Well, thank me for hanging out. This is what we're going to do.
I'm trying to be cordial, you bastard.
Yeah. All
right. Awesome, man. Well, look, I want you to take care of yourself and be safe. Tell the family I asked about them, and I'm sure I'll talk to you between now and then.
Oh, I'm sure will. And for anybody still listening, yes, he is this genuine. He is this high maintenance. This is how Hunter Elliott really is.
Very high maintenance. Totally worth it. I'm like the trophy friend.
Dear God.
Cool.
Well, I hope everybody enjoys listening to this whole no audience now because we're just recording the shit because we still don't really know what we're doing. But till next time, right?
Till next time. I'll see you in the funny pages.
Peace.